السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سورة الأعراف 161 and 162, and we have it in this. Page 171. And inshallah, tomorrow we're going to do Salatul Istisqa immediately after Salatul Jumu'ah. Salatul Istisqa, it's two rak'ah prayers, and in the Qunut we're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His blessing. And His mercy on us, inshallah, so we can have some rain. And because we are going through state of a drought in California, and this is very dangerous, not only for the human beings, it's dangerous for the animals, for agriculture. And this is also a result of sinning, excessiveness in our sinning and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a wake-up call for us. So, inshallah, tomorrow we're going to beseech Allah to have mercy and forgiveness on us, and at least to forgive the children and those who are innocent, those who have not committed a sin. For their sake, we ask Him to send His mercy on us, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ وَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطِيئَاتِكُمْ سَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ نغفر لكم خطيئاتكم سنزيد المحسنين فبدل الذين ظلموا منهم قولا غير الذي قيل لهم فأرسلنا عليهم رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يظلمون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. So this is in continuation of the story of Bani Israel and their departure of Egypt and their direction to Palestine, the Holy Land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed them. وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ. We have similar to this verse, similar to this in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 58 in the beginning of the Quran. It's almost exactly similar with maybe one or two differences in the wording. But the idea, the story is exactly similar, and the reason why this verse and some other verses have been repeated in the Quran to remind us. It's a reminder. Sometimes when the story is important, you say it twice. Especially for those who have a problem with their hearing. They don't want to hear. Sometimes you call on your son, not one time. You need to call on him in America 70 times. So they can get your attention and and hear what you are saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, some people one time is not enough for them. Sometimes twice is neither enough. We have to keep reminding them of certain things that are very important. So, وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرِيَةِ. And remember, it was said to them, to the children of Israel, اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرِيَةِ, dwell in this town. This is what we said to them. What town? The town, Al-Qariya here, although the literal meaning of Al-Qariya is the village, but the Quranic meaning of the Qariya is what? The literal meaning in the Arabic literature, Qariya means village. But when it comes in the Quran, does it mean village? What do you think? Huh? Does not mean a village. What does it mean then in the Quran? It might mean a big town, and sometimes it's a reference to a civilization. Civilization. Huge country and civilization, and it could be an empire, but the Quran referred to it as a village. وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمْ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ. We said to them, we are taking you out of Egypt, going to Palestine. We want you to live, to dwell in this city. The city is a reference to what city? Who can tell me what city? Palestine is the country, the whole country. But there is a specific city in Palestine. Jerusalem. Baytul Maqdis. Jerusalem. وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمْ اسْكُنُوا. Dwell. Allah is saying to them, dwell in this city. اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ. Dwell in it. And then after that, وَكُلُوا. اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ. وَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ. وَكُلُوا comes from كُل. And كُل is what in Arabic? Eat. But it does not only mean eating when you live in that city. It does not construe the meaning of eating. It means enjoy your stay. So eat here is a reference to the enjoyment of the stay. Stay there with peace, stability, and enjoy your stay in that land. Now we have some conflict here between the Arabs and the Israelis. The Arabs, they say, both the Arabs and the Israelis, the Arabs and the Jews, both claim that we are the only people who have right in Jerusalem. And Quran says both of you are wrong. Neither the Arabs have the only right in Jerusalem, nor the Jews have the only right in Jerusalem or Palestine. They all should have right. They all. Allah never said that in this city or that city, only this specific race should live in this city. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Quran. Nowhere in the teachings of the prophets, the Anbiya, the messengers, or the scriptures that Allah said that I want in this specific country or neighborhood or city, only this race lives there. Others, they have no right. There is nothing like that. Actually, Allah says the city, any city on earth, whether it is Jerusalem, Mecca, Medina, Kabul, Las Vegas, or Paris, or Johannesburg, any of these cities, and many other cities, the land, the one who has right to live there, is the one who built the city, not the one who destroys the city. Al-ardhu lillah wa liman ammaraha. In the Islamic law, we have this axiom that states that the land belongs to those who build it. Lillah, the real owner is Allah. And after God, to those who build that land. Not only physical building, spiritual building and moral building too. If a group of people come there and they build that city, they make it a flourishing city where there is no injustice, no deprivation, no poverty, no inequality. People live there in peace and harmony and respect. Those are the people who deserve to live there. Those are the true citizens of that land. Those are the true citizens of that land. Allah never said the land of Palestine or Egypt or Jerusalem only for the Jews or only for the Arabs or only for the Muslims. It's for those, whoever comes first, to build not only physical, not only build settlements, you know, physical building, to build harmony and peace and respect, then he deserves to live there. This is why Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ. Because maybe a Jew could come and say, see, your book is saying that your Lord said to us, the Jews, go on and dwell in this land, so we have the right. We tell them, yes, you have the right. But you don't have the right to expel the Arabs or the non-Arabs out of that land. You don't have that right. You have the right to live, but you don't have the right to tell people that you don't have the right to live. To deny them the right to live in that land. Are you with me? Do you follow me on this? You have the right to live anywhere, but you don't have the right to tell others not to live. We don't have that right. No one has that right. وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ وَكُلُوا وَكُلُوا is a reference to the enjoyment, not only the physical eating. Physical eating is one of them. But to live and enjoy the land, enjoy the blessings of God in that land. وَإِذْ قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْكُنُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ وَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ as you wish. Enjoy as you wish. حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ enjoying the good things in that life. But also we said to them, we put a condition there. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ. When you enter that city, the city of Jerusalem, when you enter it, you must say in the beginning of your entrance, حِطَّةٌ. What is حِطَّةٌ? Hitta is when you demote something. When you demote something, when you degrade something, when you put down, when you lower, when you bring down something, this is hitta. Bringing down or lowering or descending. Now, what does God mean here? Qulu hitta. Bring down what? Put down what? Put down our what? Huh? Our sins. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ. O Lord, forgive us. Put down our sins. Lower down our sins. Take them off. So we want you, when you enter there, you enter in a spirit of what? Purity, humility, humility. We don't want you to be arrogant when you enter that city. Don't enter the city with arrogance. Enter it with humility and a purity. We want you because of so many sins you have committed against yourselves and against your prophets and against Musa alayhi salam, in particular Musa. You disobeyed him on many, 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 many occasions when you were in the desert of Sinai. You were there. You disobeyed him. You offended him. You turned against him and you turned against your Lord when you started worshipping what? Do you remember the story, what they did? The golden calf. So now we want you to begin a new chapter in your life. So when you enter Jerusalem, Baytul Maqdis, we want you to ask God for what? Forgiveness. To change your manners and your akhlaq. Because if you want to come with the same arrogance, you're going to destroy the city. And you would never be able to have peace and harmony. And you would never be able to enjoy your life in that city. So we want you to throw arrogance away, go to God, go back to Him, say I'm sorry to Him, apologize to Him, say I'm not going to repeat the foolish things that I have committed in the past. I'm going to open a new chapter in my life. So God forgive me, enable me to be a new person. And then God will provide you with peace and security and blessings. But if you come with the spirit of arrogance and self-conceitedness, takabbur, then not only are you going to destroy yourself, you're going to destroy the whole city. They're going to destroy the environment of the entire city. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ. This is our first condition. We ask you that when you enter the city, show us a gesture of a humility, تَوَاضُعُ, and going back to God, and repentance, توبة. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. Another request Allah said to them. When you enter from, Allah said to them, I want you to come to Jerusalem from this specific gate. And we've been told that that gate still exists, and it is called Babu Hitta, the gate of Hitta. Because the Quran says, Hitta, as I said, to put down arrogance and conceitedness and conceit. So still that one of the gates of Jerusalem still exists today. We've been told that still exists. And it is called Babu Hitta. And we want you also, when you enter, while you are saying Hitta, O Lord, forgive us our sins, you have to prostrate to Sujjadan, in the state of prostration. What does prostration mean? What is the meaning of sujood or prostration? It is a sign of obedience. What else? A sign of obedience. And a sign of submission. And a sign of what? Huh? Humility. Ahsant. Humility. Submission, obedience, and also respect. Have you seen some people when they respect, what do? In Japan? Or in Iran also? They bow down. We are not allowed to bow, by the way. Let me remind you. We are not allowed in the Islamic Sharia, in the Islamic law, in the Islamic fiqh and jurisprudence. لا يجوز السجود لغير الله تعالى. It is not allowed for us to prostrate to any human being. It's not. You may kiss the hand of your teacher, your father, your elder, as a sign of respect, not a sign of worshipping. If you mean by kissing the hand of someone you worship him, again, this is shirk. This is not allowed. But as a gesture of respect and honor. But you are not allowed to bow. You are not allowed to bow or prostrate before anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you with me? وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. And when you are entering the gate, we want you to enter it with a state of prostration, sujood. Because many of them were very arrogant and they refused to bow down before God. They bowed down before gold, before the golden calf. They did, because it's made of gold. But when it comes to God, they said no, they refused. Allah said, listen, do you want me to have a new beginning with you, to forgive you? When you enter the city of Jerusalem, you have to say, oh God, forgive me. And also, I want you to go with a state of prostration, sujood. وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. In that case, if you do this, نَخْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطِيئَاتِكُمْ. We would forgive you your past sins and crimes against yourselves and against God and against others. نَخْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطِيئَاتِكُمْ. When we see you being serious, repenting, you want to go back to God, you have no arrogance, at that time we are willing to forgive you your sins, your past sins. نَخْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطِيئَاتِكُمْ. Now listen to this hadith. The hadith is mentioned in أصول الكافي. This is the most important book of hadith in the school of أهل البيت. أصول الكافي, كتاب الكافي by العلامة الشيخ الكليني, which has almost 16,000 hadith. 16,000 hadith narrated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our imams too. In that book, the hadith states, عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال, our great prophet Muhammad says, أصول الكفر ثلاثة, the principles of disbelief, the foundations of disbelief are three. All these violations that take place, all these sins and wrongdoings and injustices that takes place, they have three roots, three main reasons. They stem from three main reasons, all these violations. What is reason number one? What do you think? These are the mother of crimes, all crimes. The mother of all crimes. Three. Not one mother, three mothers. Every violation, every sin that takes place on earth goes back to one of these three things. What do you think, in your opinion, what do you think? The mother of crimes, number one, what is it? No, the hadith says, usulu shirk, actually shirk, the reason for shirk are these three. Number one is what? Ahsant. Al-istikbar. Arrogance. When someone is arrogant. What does arrogance mean? What does it mean? Being selfish? Only selfish? Selfish is one aspect of arrogance. One aspect. But arrogance is bigger than selfishness. What?
Thinking that you're always the best.
Thinking that you are always the best. Better than others, and you are always right and others are wrongs, and you are always innocent and others are guilty, and you are always mazloom, wronged, and others are the zalim, and you are the most beautiful and the most knowledgeable and the most wise person. This is arrogance. And your race is the best, and the color of your skin is the best, and your family is the best, and your city is the best, and your family is the best, and your blood is the best, and your nationality is the best, your race is the best. This is arrogance. So this is number one. Arrogance is very dangerous. We have to quit arrogance. And the true iman would not penetrate the heart of an arrogant person. The true faith, the true... Even if that person prays 5 times a day and he fasts and he goes to Hajj and he gives charity, as long as inside his heart is arrogant, his ibadah and his worshipping and his services are unacceptable. Unacceptable. Because his heart is not... Is it pure? Is it safe? Is it healthy? It's not. There is something wrong with his heart. So this is number one, arrogance. What is the second foundation of shirk? وصول الكفر ثلاثة. So you mentioned one of them. You mentioned istikbar. What is the second thing? Someone said, حب الدنيا, you are so close. But the hadith uses another term. Another term, similar to حب الدنيا. I'll give you some tip here. If someone wants more and more and more, greed, أحسنت, الحرص, the greed. He wants to acquire more and more. He has enough food, but he looks for more food. He has enough clothing, but it's not enough for him. He has enough housing, it's not enough for him. He has enough money for the rest of his life, but he still looks for more and more and more and more. He's not satisfied. He doesn't enjoy satisfaction. Maybe he's driving the best car in the town, but if another car passes by, he desires it. He wants to drive it. Maybe he lives in the best house in town, but if he looks at another house, Maybe he or she are wearing the best jewelry, but if they see another piece, they desire it. This is a greed. Greed means when you cannot control your desire. Your desire is uncontrollable for dunya, not for akhirah. It is good to desire akhirah. It's very good to desire the akhirah, to want to be the best in the akhirah. But I'm talking about dunya here, in this dunya, al-hirs. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَشِيبُ ابْنُ آدَمْ وَتَشِيبُ مَعَهُ خِصْلَتَانْ الْحِرْصُ وَالْأَمَلُ. As man or women grows up and up and up, two qualities and two traits are always surrounding him, with him. They don't leave him alone. One of them greed, and one of them hope. Hope in what? To live longer. Now, I know some people in their 40s, they say, I'm going to live another 40 years, 50 years. No problem. He reaches the age of 50, he says, another 50 years. He reaches the age of 80, and he looks forward for another 50 years. He reaches the age of 94, and he wants to live another 50 years. He doesn't want to see Israel. He hates to hear about Israel. And he hates to hear about death. He gives himself hope. No, no, Israel is only targeting my neighbor and my father and my brother. He doesn't come close to me. He doesn't come close to him. He's immune. He thinks he's immune. He hears about death every day. Every day in his neighborhood, in his house, in his family, in his street, in his community. But he thinks, no, this is not for me. This is not warning for me. Israel only recognizes other people, but he doesn't come to me. He doesn't know my zip code or my address. Are you with me? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Yeah. So this is al-hirsu wal-amal. So that was the second type of the root cause of crimes and disbelief. Number one was hirs. Number two was istikbar. Guess what is number three? What does the hadith say? Huh? Oh, jealousy, subhanAllah. Jealousy is number three, yes. Jealousy is number three. When jealousy we have, when he does not want to see people living in goodness, in peace, in happiness, irritates him. If he finds someone, if he sees someone to be happy, he's successful in his business, in his family, in his life, he does not enjoy that. Irritates him. Inside him, it's burning. There is a raging fire inside his heart when he sees others making strides in their life, making successes in their life. And sometimes it is okay when you find someone successful, it is okay to desire to be like him. It is okay. There is nothing wrong with that. Say, mashallah, this guy is successful. I wish God will give me the same opportunity. But what is not okay, what is dangerous, is that he wants goodness for them or badness or evil. Evil. He wants people to be destroyed. He cannot stand seeing them. Maybe one day I mentioned this story for you. They brought two people before Hajjaj. Hajjaj was a tyrant. A tyrant belongs to Jabhat al-Nusra or Daesh, you know, one of those terrorist organizations. They belong to him. So he ruled Iraq. One day he said, I want you to bring me one hasood and one bakhil in the community. Bring me one person who's very jealous and the second one who's very stingy. Bring them to me. So they brought him, they toured the city and they chose the best among the hasoods. Number one hasood in the city and one, number one bakhil. So they stood before Hajjaj. He said to them, listen, I want you to ask me anything that comes to your mind, anything, and I will grant it to you. Anything you ask me, I will grant it to you. But when you ask me anything, one of you is going to ask me anything, I am going to give his friend double that amount. Go ahead and ask me. Both of them, they did not want to ask, because one of them, Bakhil, you know, he's stingy. He doesn't like for himself to have anything, neither for others. And the second one is Hasood also, you know, jealous. How can you give me one portion and you give my friend two? I can't. So they declined. They said, we are not going to ask you. He said, if you don't, I give you 5 minutes. If you don't ask, I'm going to cut off your head. Yeah. So the Bakhil, he tried to ask. He couldn't. The Hasood said, okay, I'm going to ask. He said to him, أَيُّهَا الْأَمِيرُ, I want you أَن تَفْقَأَ عَيْنِي, to poke my eyes. One of them, the right one. He said, why? He said, because if you poke one of them, my friend, you're going to poke both of his eyes. So Hajjaj said to him, out of all these requests, you asked nothing but to lose one of your eyes? You didn't ask me for money, for position in the government, for, you know, ranch, for a property, for gold, for jewelry? He said, yes, I cannot stand seeing others being better than me, having the double of what I have. And this is the reality. أصول الكفر ثلاثة: الحرص والاستكبار والحسد. The principle or the mothers of all crimes: greed, arrogance, and jealousy. And Shaytan was the very first person in this universe to be afflicted with all three of them. All three of them. He was arrogant because he saw himself better than Adam. خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. And he was jealous also of Adam. I would not. Why should I prostrate to him? Let him prostrate to me. I'm not going to do that. And also he was greedy at the same time. He wanted paradise only for himself, not for others. أصول الكفر ثلاثة. Therefore Allah said to them, وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. If you want to change your life, you have to submit. You have to be humble. Humble yourself before God. If you don't humble yourself, you are not going to enjoy this life. This is the story of Bani Israel. Is it applicable to us too today? Huh? Yes, it is. How is that? When you go to your home, to your family, you have to be humble. If you enter your house, your property, with arrogance, neither you're going to enjoy living there, nor those who live with you. You're going to torture yourself and torture others. So you have to be humble. You have to throw arrogance away from you. Arrogance is the source of disability. Disstability in the society and in the heart. وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطِيئَاتِكُمْ. And then not only we will forgive your sins, سَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, we're going to increase our rewards and our givings to those, the good ones among you. Then the Quran says in 162, did they listen to God? Did they listen? Did they obey? Unfortunately, they did not. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. The Quran is very precise. The Quran does not say all the children of Israel was terrible and bad. He says some of them. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. But the transgressors among them, not all of them, the ظالمين, the transgressors among them. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. Change the word from that which had been given to them. They did not say hitta, first of all, out of arrogance And out of rebellion against God, they started making fun of that sentence. They started mocking that sentence, hitta, so they changed it. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِجْسًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. As a result of that, we afflicted them with rijs. Rijs has two meanings. One meaning is, the general meaning is a punishment. We punished them. We sent a punishment over them. The specific meaning of rijs is what? What is the specific meaning of rijs in the Quran? In the Quran. The general meaning of it is adab, punishment, chastisement. But what is the specific meaning of it? It has a specific meaning. Specific type of punishment, not any punishment. Some people, God punished them with lightning, with a flood, with earthquakes, with strong winds, hurricanes. Those guys, how did God punish them? فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. What does the history say? What does the Torah say? It is mentioned, that type of punishment is mentioned in the Torah and the Quran, both. What was it? الطاعون, the plague that killed thousands and thousands of them, of that community. رِجْسًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ. Listen to this and I'm going to conclude. In Surah Al-A'raf here, Allah says, بِمَا كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. Verse 58. There is يَفْسُقُونَ, chapter 2. Chapter 7 says, يَظْلِمُونَ. What is the difference between them? يظلمون, for their frequented or repeatedly transgression. They kept transgressing. But يفسقون means what? For their repeated infringement of God's law. Any sin, my friends, has two repercussions. Any type of sin has two repercussions. One is against what? Against God. And the second is against ourselves. Because when someone sins, fuqaha and the jurists, they say this is tajarri, infringement of the law. Because God said to him, don't do this. He's disregarding God, disrespecting God. This is one result. When you break the law, when someone breaks any law in any country, what he's doing first? Is he respecting the law or disrespecting it? Disrespecting it. He's overlooking it. He's throwing it away. As if he's saying, listen, I don't even respect this law. And this is qa'idatu tajarri in jurisprudence, that when you do this against God, as if you are defying him, you are saying, listen, God, I disregard you. I don't even care about what you think or what you feel. I don't care about you. So this is one. This is fisq. Fisq is infringement against God's law. The second, dhulm, is when someone transgresses and does an injustice against whom? Against قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. I did injustice to myself. I wronged myself. Dhulm, sometimes you wrong others and sometimes you wrong yourself. فَأَنزَلْنَا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ. And inshallah we continue on Surah Al-A'raf next week. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات. Let's recite أمن يجيب المضطر for the healing of the sick and those who are ill and those who are waiting for our dua, and also for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us and our families and our children and our communities and the Muslimin and the mu'mineen worldwide. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ 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 أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية. اللهم المرضى المنظورين ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية. اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا واقض حوائجنا للدنيا والآخرة وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.